Usually on the feast day of a saint, we focus on the holiness of the person, and why we consider him or her a saint, though maybe a founder of a religious community, or the obvious example is the martyrs. We think of the crowning moment of their life, their dedication, dedication to Christ all the way to death. Or we think of some great work that they did, you know, wrote a great work or participated in some charity. There are some examples, exceptions. Of course, you can think, first of all, St. Paul is the biggest exception because his feast day is specifically focused on his conversion, the conversion of St. Paul. But St. Paul, remember, was a very zealous Pharisee. He was really, in his own mind, a very religious man. Maybe we might also think of, as an exception to this liturgical pattern, St. Augustine. Yeah, when we celebrate St. Augustine, yes, we focus on his great works as a saint, as a bishop, as a theologian, but we also recall his sinful past and his conversion. Then there's today's saint, St. Matthew. We could focus on his holiness, we could. I mean, he's an apostle, he's one of the 12, he's an evangelist. I mean, he wrote a gospel. How could we not focus on his enduring proclamation of the gospel? The tradition used to be he wrote the first gospel. Now the scholars say he couldn't be the first because they think Mark wrote the first one. But anyway, he wrote a gospel. But on his feast day, even though we honor him as an apostle and an evangelist, we focus on his identity as a tax collector and on the moment of his call when he was still a tax collector, when he was not a zealous Pharisee trying to establish a religious purity in the world, and he was not a restless soul searching for the truth like St. Augustine. He was just a tax collector. If he was searching for anything, it was for money. At least that's what we think of him. We don't really know much about him. But he was a tax collector. He was sitting in his sin. Just sitting there. He didn't do anything to attract the Lord or to prove that he was worthy of being called. And so the Feast of St. Matthew brings us to the essentials. Sometimes when we honor the other saints, we can get distracted by how great they are. Oh my goodness, Mother Teresa, she helped 30,000 homeless people or whatever. Or we think of St. Augustine, he wrote so many volumes you can't even fit them on the shelves. St. Francis of Assisi, he inspired the whole world to be poor and holy. And we say, oh, at least no wonder they're saints, because they're so holy. But when it comes to St. Matthew, we realize, wait a minute now, let's get to the essentials. It doesn't start with the holiness of the person. It starts with the initiative of God. Very clear in this very short story about Matthew's conversion, his call. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the customs post. Jesus is the one who approached Matthew. Matthew wasn't looking for him. He said to him, "Follow me." That's what Bishop Barron calls the invasion of grace. The invasion. All of a sudden, Matthew has this call. And he got up and he followed him. A tsunami. And Matthew allowed himself to be carried by the wave. Sometimes I think about Matthew writing this. You know, he wrote this. I bet he loved writing this part of his gospel. I bet he loved writing this down. There was this guy named Matthew. He was a tax collector. It's a great example of the power of grace for sinners. And if we continue the reading, that change in that life of one sinner immediately became an opportunity for many tax collectors and sinners to experience that same grace. They could all sit down and eat with Jesus. Nobody was excluded from the possibility of being called, "Follow me." So we see the beauty of one man's call, then the beauty of how that starts this chain reaction of attracting people to the Lord, but it's the Lord who starts it, remember? And then the reaction of the Pharisees. They get it right away. If you do this, Jesus, you mess up the whole system. You're ruining the way we are establishing our reputation as holy men. If you pick that guy, come on, you make all our efforts worthless. It means it doesn't matter what we do. I hope you can feel that objection, because every one of us has this idea, we can hardly get it out of our minds, that if we do good things, then we're worthy of being called. Or if we do enough good, then we're holy. We distract ourselves with what is not essential, and we miss what is essential. What is essential is Jesus approaching us, seeing us, choosing us, calling us. As the Pharisees saying, this is a problem. Why is this man eating with tax collectors and sinners? Why is he ruining the whole project of our life? And that's when Jesus gives this great response, even though they didn't really want an answer. They were using their question as a judgment. They weren't saying, why is he sitting with tax collectors and sinners? They were saying, he shouldn't be sitting with tax collectors and sinners. And Jesus' response is, those who are well do not need a physician, but the sick do. I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners. It's a great response. It's a revelation of the essentials. I came to call sinners. So if you're a sinner, that's great news. Jesus came for you. He came to call you. He sees you. He chooses you. He loves you. He calls you. If you're righteous, well then, it's bad news that Jesus did not come for the righteous. He didn't come for the saints. Of course, he came to make everyone saints, but he didn't come to people because they were holy. He doesn't come to us because we're holy. So this is an opportunity. The Feast of St. Matthew gives us an opportunity to reflect on our own call. Why did God choose me? Because I'm a sinner. That's the answer. Because he came for sinners. If you can't identify that reason in your experience of the Lord, well, then you're missing something essential. Pope Francis is a great example of this. You know, on the Feast of St. Matthew now, we call Pope Francis because from the beginning of his papacy, he spoke about his own conversion as a young man. He identified himself as a Matthew, a sinner who experienced, out of the blue, Jesus calling him for no reason. And Pope Francis has as his papal motto, maybe you know this on his papal seal, he has this Latin expression, miserando atque eligendo. In Latin, you can say a lot with a few words. Miserando atque eligendo. It comes from a famous homily by Saint Bede. Of course, he wrote in Latin. But we have this homily in the Office of Readings for today's feast. And this is how it's translated in this version. He saw the tax collector, and because he saw him through the eyes of mercy and chose him, he said to him, "Follow me." So the miserando ad per elegendo is, he saw him through the eyes of mercy. Literally, it means having mercy on him and choosing him. So that's the part that Pope Francis selected for his own motto, having mercy on him and choosing him. He saw him, he had mercy on him, he chose him, and then he said, "Follow me." So Jesus did a lot before Matthew even knew what was going on. And this is the beauty of it. He saw him through the eyes of mercy and chose him. He said to him, "Follow me." In this homily, as I say, this is a famous homily by St. Bede the Venerable. St. Bede reflects on this experience of Matthew being chosen. He says, it's no surprise that Matthew could so easily get up from his earthly wealth and leave it all behind and follow Jesus. It's no surprise, because he experienced something much more valuable. We, because we tend to think that earthly things are so important, we think, wow, what a sacrifice to have to leave behind career, money, and status, and position in the community or whatever, security. That's not how Matthew experienced it at all. It was no big sacrifice. He felt like he was leaving nothing and getting everything. And that's what conversion is like. Now, down the road, the sacrifice is a lot more painful when it's not so clear how great the future is, and it's not so clear how empty the past is. You know how twisted our thinking can get. Say, "Oh, I used to have it so good, or what about this and that, and I don't know what I'm going to face in the future." There's lots of fear about the unknown, but that comes after this initial grace. When Matthew hears Jesus say, "Follow me," he knows that's what he has to do. He doesn't think about all his money. Then St. Bede the Venerable, in this homily, he says, we can go a little deeper into what's going on here. When we reflect on what Matthew did in hosting Jesus at a dinner, he hosted Jesus together with all the tax collectors and sinners. This was the emerging mission of Matthew as an evangelist. Of course, as soon as he's converted, he's already attracting people to the gospel. But what Bede does is he says, look a little deeper here and see that Matthew not only gave a banquet for the Lord at his earthly residence, but far more pleasing was the banquet set in his own heart, which he provided through faith and love. So he provided a banquet, yes, but he opened the door of his heart and welcomed the Lord in there, providing the Lord with a place to eat. And St. Bede is referring to this passage from the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 3, verse 20. What does Jesus say? "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and eat with him, and he with me." So that's it. Jesus is knocking on the door. And if we open the door, he comes in and we provide a banquet for him. Of course, he provides much more for us than we provide for him. But you see what Matthew did. Literally, he also did spiritually. So this is what we are also invited to do, not to focus on our righteousness, which is worthless when it comes to attracting the Lord's love, not to focus on our earthly possessions or anything that we might use to build up our status in the eyes of others or in our own eyes, and not to focus either on our sin, because what Jesus sees he sees beyond sin. He sees a person whom he chooses, loves, and calls. So we are that person. Each one of us is the Matthew today. Each one of us is a sick person whom a physician has come to heal. And each one of us can rejoice to leave sickness behind and follow him. So let us take St. Matthew as our model, example, inspiration, intercessor. Jesus did not come to call the righteous, he came to call sinners, and we rejoice to be sinners who are called.